I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Boys and girls.
It's wild, it's wacky, it's slick, it's savvy. It's the Madcap Daffy, Fractured, Ding-a-ling, Ring-a-ding, Loony, Zany, Side-splitting, Rib-tickling, Slap-happy, Scuzzy, Dreary, Irksome, Tedious, Banal, Pointless, Smutty world of...
The Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I guess maybe Jeff has his assertion that I'm an old man yelling at a cloud.
In an insane society, the same man must appear insane.
Jeff Lutz.
Some instances you were, and then, like I said, we reined you in a little bit.
And a lot of people like to believe that.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Listen to this, if you can.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to a Friday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. The big fella in with me today, Anthony. We're expecting Wichita Bishop Carroll assistant boys basketball coach Chris Davis to join us shortly. He's running a little late. He's got a knee injury, apparently. He's 75 years old and has a knee injury. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Just sitting in this sunken chair that's going to make me fall asleep.
Yeah, it's a comfortable chair, no doubt about it, but good luck getting out of it.
Yeah, you're going to help me.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Let's get right to it. Jeff is on the phone from Las Vegas. He'll see the Eagles tonight at the Sphere. He'll have game four after a scintillating Guardians win in game three yesterday against the Yankees. One of the best baseball games you'll ever see. Let's get it. What's up, Jeff?
I'm here. I am in Las Vegas. You set it all up for the people. Eagles tonight, game four tonight, Eagles tomorrow, game five tomorrow.
Where are you watching these games? In your seat at the Sphere?
I'll probably start in the hotel and then somehow get over to the Sphere. Might walk.
How are you getting to the Sphere? We all want to know. How are these logistics working?
Well, we're going to go out after this appearance and see how long the walk is to the Sphere, see if we can make it in decent time. And if so, I'll do that. If it takes a little while, I'll call an Uber. What do you mean
you're going to see how long the walk is? Can't you just find out how far it is to the Sphere from where you are?
Yeah, but there's little twists and turns. There's a lot of traffic. It's hard to cross the street. The red lights take forever. So who knows when the crosswalk's going to come back around. We just want to get a little lay of the land out there in sunny Las Vegas.
Hey, Jeff, they also have a free trolley bus. I've been there, so I know it runs and shuts off around about 6-ish their time, I think. So they got that at your access in case you don't have enough for an Uber.
Yeah, I got enough for an Uber, Anthony. Let's not get crazy here.
Apparently, Anthony's calling you out that you don't have enough money.
Well, he's not too far off.
How'd you react to the ninth and tenth innings yesterday? I'm surprised the hotel manager didn't come and kick you out.
Well, that was my wife's thing. Like, you can't really scream in here, and I'm like, we're in Las Vegas. People all over. Nobody cares what anybody else is doing. I don't think that's been kind of the vibe I've gotten. So when David Fry hit the home run, I went absolutely ballistic and tore the bedding off the bed, jumped around, screamed. My wife thought I was going to have a heart attack, but everything's great. It was a moment. It's been a postseason full of moments for the Guardians. They've had several now. I wonder how many they have left. It's exciting.
Well, I thought the Fry home run was certainly. I'm surprised the betting survived the John Kinsey Noel home run. Why? That was the real one.
I don't know. It was the real one, but I was still. It was hard to go from absolutely despondent. I mean, it's happened before, but it's just, you know, there wasn't any hope at that point. And yes, the home run that John Kinsey Noel hit absolutely changed the game. But it was difficult for me to transition from our season is over to now there's a little something maybe going on.
Well, I don't know if I understand that or not. I don't know. I don't know if I get that. You're going to have difficulty today. You've messed both of your worlds together in a way that I'm not sure you're going to be satisfied with either. If the Guardians lose, I don't know that you'll enjoy the Eagles concert the way you should. And if the Guardians win, your devotion to that game will be so that I'm not sure you'll be able to pay attention to the Eagles concert. I don't know. I don't know what you're doing here.
Well, I guess we'll find out, won't we? I don't think that the Guardians winning would take anything away from the Eagles concert. That's an insane.
You'll be hooked on the game. You'll be watching the game. There won't be any time to watch the Eagles.
I think he might be.
You know what I'm saying, big fella?
I see what you're saying, but I think Jeff is saying mentally he can multitask.
That'd be a different Jeff.
It would. I'll have a pretty decent idea, hopefully, of how the game is going to turn out by the time the Eagles start at 8:30, which is 11:30 Eastern time. The game starts at 7, so 5 o'clock here, 8 o'clock East Coast time. It'll be 3 hours in, at least 3 hours plus. Maybe the game will be over by then. Maybe not. But I bet the victor will be somewhat apparent. Hopefully, we'll see.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Have fun.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
When do you get home?
Sunday morning-ish.
Sunday morning.
Yes.
So you're back on this show Monday, is that correct?
We'll see about all that.
Well, that's get away. I'm done. Thank you. Congratulations. Have fun watching the Eagles. I'm sure we'll get a report. And appreciate it.
Bye.
All right, there you go. Jeff from Las Vegas, where lots of things are happening in the guy's life.
Yeah.
And I don't know how he's going to keep it all together.
I had a chance to go to Vegas 2 years ago. Me and wife got married and we went to Vegas.
Not a bad idea.
I'm surprised he didn't stay at the Stratosphere, though.
He actually is saying it's a pretty nice place. We looked it up yesterday. Even Doodle was impressed. So it sounds like he's doing okay.
I should have sent him with one of these drinks right here.
What is that?
It's a green drink.
Looks awful.
It tastes good.
What's in it?
Cucumber, celery, green apples.
That's just the
ginger.
That's the most vile drink I've ever heard of.
It's good for you.
Cucumbers and celery. Two things I despise. It can't taste good with those ingredients.
It has green apples and ginger in it. It's good
What's
for
the
you?
Most prevailing flavor? What do you taste the most when you drink it?
I probably taste the celery the most.
That's awful.
You mean to tell me you didn't eat celery when you was growing up?
Can't stand celery. Even with peanut butter on it. And my wife, who's a picky eater, seems to like celery, which I never understood. I don't know how you could like celery.
Well, see, I put this in the juice and all the juice. You'd be surprised how much juice actually would come out of those celery stalks.
Well, it's a lot of water.
And the cucumber, man, I mean, it's just flowing with liquid coming out that.
It's
good for you.
I don't notice you drinking much of it. It's one thing to hold it over there and tell us about drinking it. There, you took a swig. Pretty healthy swig.
That wasn't a swig. That was a gulp.
You seem to like it.
I do. There's Ashley called it. People that listen to this show. I had a friend of mine, he's a musician friend of mine, he called me and wanted to know, hey, what about these juice drinks? I had to send him a YouTube link, like, here's a whole lot of ideas, because this is where I get mine from. And I finally got me a juicer about 3 weeks ago, so I've been juicing crazy.
Well, more power to you. I admire it. I think it's fantastic. I'm certainly not going to try celery and cucumber.
Okay, I'll make you one, watermelon and cucumber.
Mm.
Tastes pretty good. The most prevalent taste.
Maybe I'll go to one of the stores and just, you know.
Why spend your money when you can get it for free?
Tiptoe in and figure it out. I don't know what I'm going to do. 869-1240, here's what we have for you on the show today. And we have a first-time guest as part of the festivities. We'll be talking with former K-State offensive lineman Brian Hanley. He's part of the Big 12 Insiders Network. And we'll talk to him about the Big 12, K-State with a very interesting game coming up on Saturday in Morgantown against West Virginia. It's always, for whatever reason, it's always a roll of the dice to go to West Virginia and play. And yesterday on the show when we made our picks, four of us picked Kansas State to cover the spread. They're a 2.5-point favorite due to pick West Virginia. So we'll see. You and I and Jeff were pretty confident in K-State.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident. I mean, K-State went to Colorado last year, higher altitude, hostile environment,
by three,
competitive game, and found a way to win that game. So now they're playing on level playing ground. They might be below sea level. I don't know.
West Virginia's got some
hills and
terrain.
Valleys. Yeah, I believe they can handle that. I mean, I think this team is equipped to handle that.
I hope you're right. I mean, I picked them, same as you did.
I picked them.
But I don't know. Something about playing at West Virginia is weird.
Well, West Virginia, they kind of remind me before Oklahoma State really, I don't know if you want to say really got good. Well, yeah, before they really got good, they used to be one of those teams that every year they find a way to beat somebody that they weren't supposed to beat. And West Virginia, even though they've had some level of success, it hasn't been consistent, but they find a way to beat someone that you least expect them to beat.
Right.
It's just that this weekend won't be Kansas State.
There you go.
Because Kansas State had their bad loss when they went out to Provo.
I think K-State will win the game by hopefully a field goal or more. So if that happens, I've gotten that one right, and I'll feel good about it.
Yep, I did my FanDuel picks.
So we'll talk with Brian Hanley coming up at 2:25. And then later in the show today at 3:25, Joanna Chadwick joins us from Vibe Magazine.
My favorite.
We'll talk about high school football, what the schedule looks like tonight with Joanna as we enter week 7. Already week 7. Seems like yesterday they were playing the season openers.
Right. And now it's like the season's like fly by. It's like just –
it's crazy.
Crazy how fast the season goes.
Once you get into – this time of year, it just seems like, I guess, all times of year. When you're my age, there's no slowing it down.
Right. And you know, I want to give some shout-outs. You mentioned Joanna Chadwick. I want to shout out her husband, Coach Chadwick, the girls' basketball coach, also Coach Joe Jackson, because last year they invited me to basketball games, and that basically just got me more interested in going to not just waiting for basketball season. I went to a couple of football games this season, and the atmospheres I've experienced. I mean,
who'd you go see?
First game season, I went to see May South. I went to Derby. I should have went there when school was out because I had to walk about 2 miles to get to the stadium.
It's crazy down in Derby.
That atmosphere is like Friday Night Lights in Texas. And then the last game I went to was Andover Central, the game that they lost against Goddard. Didn't see that one coming. They was ranked number one.
That's a big win for Goddard.
That was a big win for Goddard. So
yeah, I haven't been to a game at Derby in quite some time.
So next game,
even though it's my alma mater,
I could go tonight, but I think wife has something planned, so I'm gonna pencil.
Well, tonight the game to go to is Mound Ridge Sedgwick.
Yeah, I probably won't be going to that one, but I do have next week's game circled on my calendar, even though they took a loss against their in town rival. May South versus Derby ought to still be a good game.
No, it won't. That will not be a good game.
I believe it'd be a good game.
By good, what's your definition of good?
I'm like this. I believe May South have learned from that game that they played against Mays that they lost. I believe it to be one of the most competitive games that Derby has played this year.
That's not saying a whole lot. They haven't had a competitive game.
Exactly.
But give me a score. Let's go. Just get your cucumber juice away and give me a score of that game.
Give you a score of that game.
And then I'll give you my score. And this is not intended to be disrespectful of May South and Coach Pfeiffer. They've done a fantastic job. This is a generational team at Derby.
It is. And I've seen that Derby team. Brain, whatever his name is, that tight end, man, he is on a different level. But I'm going to say it like this. I believe that will be, when I say the most competitive game Derby play, it's going to at least be like 42-28.
Let me write that down. 42-28. This game's in Derby, by the way.
In Derby. You know what? But I believe that May South, their fan base is going to travel. That game is going to be one. You will have to be there before school is out. Not wait to school. You're going to have to be there at, like, during gym hours, second hour.
May South just – and again, May South is obviously a very good football team.
I mean
– and I'm not trying to be disrespectful here, but they just gave up 55 to Mays last week.
No one's seen that coming.
No one saw it coming, but it happened.
But it's any given Friday. It's just like any given Sunday.
Okay. You say 42-28.
Yeah.
I say 57-14.
You done lost your mind.
Oh, really? Get back to me.
I believe that Coach Pfeiffer is going to have those guys ready. Like I say, they might come up short, but my score prediction is 42-28.
I wrote it down. Oh, trust me, I wrote it down.
You know what we ought to do? We ought to make that the bonus picks on the...
We'll do that. We'll put our own line on
it. Put our own line on it.
And if I had to put a line on that game, I'd say 28.5.
You know what? I'm pretty sure that somebody might be listening. That's going to get back. That's going to be... You're giving them bulletin board material.
I am more than happy to provide bulletin board material, but I also speak... what I believe.
And I'm pretty sure that Coach Clark, he would like a competitive game to make sure his guys are battle-tested going into playoffs.
There's nothing that I disagree with you about what you're saying. He'll have them ready to play. They're a good team. He'll have a bulletin board. Whatever it is, I agree with you. 57-14.
57.
There you go. You got 42-28.
This is the first time me and Bob have gone at it like Jeff and Bob.
Yeah, kind of fun, isn't it?
It's kind of fun.
people love going at it with me. And they know that they may be right. You may be right. You may win this thing.
I'm always right.
But I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know how much money you got. I don't know what kind of car you drive. What kind of house you live in?
I drive a Mazda.
Or if you have a boat, but I've done some gambling in my life, not very much. And when it's a house, car, boat type of game, that's the ultimate vote of confidence, right?
So you willing to let me have your car in a bet, right?
House, car, and boat.
No,
I don't know if you have a boat.
I don't have no boat.
I don't.
I feel like this. If God wanted me to be on water, He would have made me a fish of some type.
That's a good point. Anyway, that game's not till next week, so we'll ask Joanna about it. Now, she's diplomatic, even though she's works at Derby,
right?
As a journalism instructor, she's more diplomatic. I try to be diplomatic, but I call them like I see them.
I'm pretty sure she's approaching that game with guarded optimism.
No, I don't think it's going to be that guarded. This is Derby, man.
I know this is Derby. This is Powerhouse Derby. They got that chip on their shoulder from last year. They're on a mission. They want to bring that state trophy back to Derby. I get all that. And you know what? They still going to bring that trophy back. But this is going to be their most competitive game that they played this year.
Okay. Well, we'll see.
Like I say, 42-28.
42-28. I got it at 57-14.
I believe
so. We'll ask Joanna when we have her on, and that'll be shortly, about an hour from now. We'll take a break now and come back and talk Big 12 football, K-State football. Former K-State lineman Brian Hanley, who spent a lot of his career protecting Michael Bishop up at K-State.
Wow.
He'll join the show next. Bob, the big fella, we expect Chris Davis to arrive shortly. This is the Bob and Jeff Show on KFH.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is
is the Bob and Jeff Show.
This is Brian Hanley who joins us. First time we've had the pleasure. Brian, welcome. We're going to talk some football. You're part of the Big 12 Insiders Network. Welcome to our show.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys having me.
You bet. So we got the Big 12, as I say on this show quite often, intrigues the heck out of me. I know it's not the SEC. I know it's not the Big 10. Maybe it gets a little lesser play nationally now. But the parity in this league this year is off the charts. What do you expect to happen Saturday? Do you expect things to clear up a little bit?
You know, this week happens to be one of those weeks where, you know, the matchups aren't crazy, you know, like upsets. And usually when that's the case, usually a lot of upsets happen. So I expect something weird to happen this weekend. Again, this conference is just, it's just crazy, man. It just is.
Yes, sir. This is the big fella, as they call me. And you're the Big 12 insider. Did you see BYU actually having the type of year that they're having this year? I mean, I know they're pretty much a brand name. I mean, you say BYU, you just think of some of the players of the past. And looking at the whole Big 12, did you see BYU having this type of season? And how much luster is going to be lost when K-State plays against KU because so much expectations was heaped upon KU? So two questions in one.
Sure. The first one, no. I don't think anybody saw BYU having this kind of season. I thought it was possible, but you didn't think it was likely. Just for the simple fact, you know, a lot of BYU, their coaches, their players, they talked about how last year they didn't know how physical the conference was, and they didn't match up physically to what the Big 12 required. So usually when that happens, it takes a little while for that to kick in. Now, there's still a lot of football left, but I don't think there's anybody who thought that BYU would be right where it is currently. But congrats and hats off to them. The second question, as far as the luster of the game, yeah, because it's going to take a hit. People thought Kansas was going to be good, and they should be good. I mean, they brought back all of this talent. The coaching staff is supposed to be, you know, top-notch. Everybody talks about it, but, you know, there's no reason for Kansas not to be good right now. There's literally no reason for it. Can't explain it, can't finish games. That's basically what it's coming down to. Haven't got a great quarterback play. The play calling hasn't been good, but it's just, yes, it is definitely going to take a hit because I think a lot of people in the state thought that when these two teams played, they'd both be ranked, and that couldn't be further from the truth.
Brian Hanley is our guest, former K-State lineman, part of the Big 12 Insiders Network as a host, works a lot very closely with Tim Fitzgerald, our friend from GoPowerCat.com. Let's talk about K-State. They went out to Provo and got thumped, and I think we all said at that time, is this thing really as good as we think it might be or could be? Since then, they've looked more like themselves. But they have a very tricky game Saturday in Morgantown against West Virginia. You can speak to it. You know the difficulty of going to West Virginia. Tell us about that game and what you expect.
I expect it to be another tough game for Kansas State. Going on the road is never easy, especially in this conference. So I expect the game to be nip and tuck. I think K-State wins. But because there's a lot of stuff going on in West Virginia right now with some of the comments that their coach has made this week, which is unbelievable. But I just think, look, Kansas State hasn't been great on the road. They won last week in Colorado, but I would say that wasn't a great football game that Kansas State played. They were able to win, but defensively it wasn't great. Now, they were playing against a great quarterback, but they haven't played great on the road, so they're going to have to, again, find another way to win on the road because it's tough in the Big 12, man, to go win on the road.
So back to this West Virginia team, because I had a chance to peep them out last week as they were playing against Iowa State. So The next question is, which version of West Virginia are we going to get? Are we going to get the one that played against Iowa State last week that gave them all they could until they just ran out of gas? Or what can we expect? Because they seem very unpredictable.
Well, first off, last week, I don't know that they gave them all they could because that game wasn't near as close as the final score indicated. West Virginia has been up and down all year. They're probably kicking themselves because they gave away a game against Pitt. They were up by 11 points with 5 minutes or 10 points with 5 minutes to go and end up losing. But they've been so up and down. We just don't know how good West Virginia actually is. And here's what I say that is because last year they got helped a lot by their schedule. And this year, you know, that schedule has gotten a lot more difficult, and they're not winning these games. So I still don't know how good West Virginia is. I think they're going to fight because they're at home. But, again, based on what their coach said this week, they get down by 10 points. They may cash it in. Who knows?
Brian Hanley with us, Big 12 Insider. Getting back to the Big 12 and how interesting it is, because it's, again, I'm just enthralled by it. Here you have Kansas, Oklahoma State, Utah, UCF, and Arizona. They're combined 3-13 in the conference. They were all expected to be contenders. I mean, it wouldn't have surprised anybody for those teams to be contenders. Meanwhile, you have Colorado, Cincinnati, Arizona State, Texas Tech, Iowa State, who are a combined, do the math. They're very good. It's almost like you've just taken it and turned it upside down in some ways.
100%. Absolutely. Look, Iowa State, I think everybody kind of thought would be pretty good. I don't know if they thought they'd be this good, but everybody thought they'd be good. Everybody else? It's the exact opposite. You're exactly right. Kansas, UCF, a lot of people thought UCF was going to be good, myself included. But they missed on the quarterback. And, you know, I talked yesterday to UC Chad Brindle, who covers Cincinnati for 24/7 Sports, and just talked to him, and he's like, they hit on their quarterback, and that's why they're better. And that would be the difference in a lot of cases. It's like, look, college football, if you get a quarterback that can play a little bit, you can win some games. If you got one that struggles, you're going to struggle. And if you look at the teams that have struggled, those quarterbacks have struggled.
All right. This is good stuff. We may get you back on this show, my man. You're pretty good at this.
I appreciate it. Thank you. I'd love to come back.
I do. Before we let you go, I wanted to ask you about your career at K-State, playing for Bill Snyder. Part of an incredible run, an incredible group of teams, and you were on that offensive line as Michael Bishop's left guard. I happen to think Michael Bishop is one of the best college football players I ever saw. Tell us about that time and playing with Michael, and does he get the respect and admiration that he deserves, in your opinion?
You know, I think he gets the respect from Kansas State fans. I think that. I mean, he just went into the College Football Hall of Fame, so more people are giving him the respect around the country now. But I don't think he gets it because, look, the start of the Wildcat offense was Michael Bishop. And people don't necessarily want to give him credit for that. But my whole thing is, why do you think it's called the Wildcat offense? Like, that he started that. Him and Coach Snyder, that's what they started. So can he get more credit? I guess, but he's in the Hall of Fame. It's hard to get more credit anywhere
than
being in the Hall of Fame.
I guess my point was, like, if you ask the average college football fan to name the 25 best college football players of the last 40 years, I don't know how many would name Michael Bishop. I would.
Correct.
I think you probably would. That's kind of where I was going with that. I think the people in the Hall of Fame level, yeah, they probably get it. But I don't know that the average college football fan who likes to watch games every Saturday and has been doing that for a long time would come up with his name.
They probably wouldn't. College football is so regionalized. And, you know, based on where you live and the team that you follow, you know, it's based on regions. And so you get somebody out west that they're 35. They could be 35 years old. They probably don't even know Michael Bishop's name, much less know that how good he was of a football player. So that's kind of where the difference is. And the demographics and the age, you know, you got to remember, and this always surprises me. I'm like, man, that was almost 30 years ago when that happened. And I'm like, man, I'm that old now. So it's one of those things. So I don't think it's just weird. Don't get me wrong. I think he gets his due, but you're right. His name wouldn't come up. But I think it's more because of a demographic thing and a regionality thing is that the reason why. But if you ask people in the Big 12 that are around the Big 12, his name would absolutely come up.
One more question before we let you go, Brian Hanley, with us from Big 12 Insider, Big 12 Insider Network. Mike Gundy, Oklahoma State. Obviously, they've had some injury issues, but they've vastly underachieved. Based on what we thought would be going on with them. They're at BYU on Saturday, so they got a pretty good shot at falling to 0-4 in the Big 12. Is this guy in any trouble at all?
No, he's not in any trouble. Gundy can probably coach, not probably, he can coach there until he wants to quit. They were in the Big 12 title game a year ago. Look, they're struggling, and again, they missed on the quarterback. Last year, their quarterback was fine. This year, I mean, but it was kind of fool's gold. Well, Alan Bowman's not that good of a quarterback. He's just not. I mean, and everybody knows that. It's not me. I'm not breaking news here or anything like that. He's not. And they're not playing well because of that. They can't run the football. But they'll be back. I mean, Mike Gundy's too good of a coach for him to just say, okay, we're not good this year. I'm just going to – it is what it is. They'll figure it out. Heck, don't be surprised if after this bye week tonight that Oklahoma State doesn't give BYU all they ask for, because the talent is there. Sometimes you just need a reboot, and the bye week may have been that. So don't be surprised if you don't see a different type of Oklahoma State team. Now, I'm not counting on that, but I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think they're even going to win, but just don't be shocked to see a different Oklahoma State team.
Dude, I'd be shocked. I've got to tell you. I'm sorry, but there's where we have our first disagreement. But it's okay, because we loved having you on talking about the Big 12. We appreciate your insight, and we'll do it again, okay?
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Brian Hanley, Big 12 Insider Network. That was fun. Yeah. We all picked BYU yesterday. They're giving 9.5 points. And we all picked them for much, much confidence. So I don't agree with, but I don't know. I don't think Oklahoma State can go there and make that a good game. I don't see it. Do you?
I don't, but then again, Gundy is still the coach.
My son can't stand Gundy. Thinks he's the most overrated coach in the world. And he has a point, because
he's still a mayor.
They're pretty good, but they never really
consistency.
They never really do a whole lot. They're always pretty good, but they're never really great.
Well, I'll give them this much credit. They beat OU in the first time they beat them. And when I say first time, I'm talking about here recently. Lincoln Riley had enough. He went to USC. And then the next time they beat them, that was their exit to the SEC.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
But, you know, Brian Hanley, you know, not to cut you off, he brought up some valid points, especially when he was talking about KU. He said play calling. How much does KU actually miss their offensive coordinator from a year
Great
ago?
Great question.
Who's now the offensive coordinator at Penn State.
Penn State's number three in the country.
Because one of the things they say that's very important is continuity on the coaching staff. Well, that link was broken when you lose your offensive coordinator. So how much of a difference does that make? Because right now, play Colin is the question.
Obviously seems like it's making some difference. All right, we've come to the time for a break. When we come back, the big fella, Anthony, is with me today. Apparently no Chris Davis.
Man,
the guy said he injured his knee, I was going to go to the doctor. Said I'll be there plenty of time.
Did you go to the doctor today?
He went to the doctor, and he can't get away from the doctor.
Yeah, so, it's the doctor's fault.
And you know that, and that's why I called you. I mean, you're right here. I knew you'd be here.
Yeah, I just hate coming down 21st Street.
That's terrible. We'll talk about that.
Yeah,
we'll talk about a lot. The IHOP Hotline brought to you by IHOP. Celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP House Faves. All your favorites for just $6. Monday through Friday. It's yours truly and the big fella here on the show. You mentioned driving down 21st. Getting west to east and vice versa is a little bit difficult at the moment. Now, I applaud the improvements they're making on 21st.
Yeah.
But the process is painful.
Very painful.
And then 13th Street, depending on the time of day, but usually 13th Street is a nightmare. Not because of trains, but just because everybody who's not using 21st right now has hopped over to 13th.
Yeah, I'd be glad.
And one of the worst intersections in this community is 13th and Mosley, where Cargill is, and those trucks are pulling in there night and day.
Goodness, man.
And on both sides, and it's just, it's almost impossible.
You know, they came out with that movie called Nightmare on Elm Street. No, this is Nightmare on 13th and Mosley. With them.
You know what I'm talking about.
Man.
It's backed up there forever. And they've got that down to one lane now if you're eastbound on 13th. For, I hope, not very much longer, but it's getting over to our building in the mornings. I don't feel like I have a real route to get there. You know, it's been 13th Street, but now it's really hard to get by. Am I whining?
Well, see what you can do. You talking about get to your building over there by the ball field, right? By League 42?
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, you have an alternative. See, to avoid the construction on 21st Street, you can actually, like, when you leave out here, turn down there where that burger stop is across from that car wash. Make a
huh?
Right, turn down there by where Wendy's is at. Make that right turn, then make your way to 17th Street, and then just come on in.
17th Street is always blocked by a train.
Yes,
it's just like 21st Street.
Yeah, with 21st Street, you got construction and a train problem.
It's not. None of it's ideal.
I'll take my chances on going up 17th Street, depending on what time of day it is.
Yeah.
To avoid 13th Street congestion, to avoid construction zone and train, I would take my chance. Now, if you happen to run into a train, then, yeah, you got to detour, go over to 13th Street and hope traffic getting backed up over there. But it's like, pick your poison. Pick your driving poison.
It's not easy, but hey, we make do.
I mean, I missed four lights between in that construction. I'm like, why would I come this way?
Now, yesterday on the show, we'll talk baseball in a minute. Did you watch baseball last night?
I didn't get to watch. I heard about it. You know, I worked at graveyard shifts.
You're working that graveyard shift. Anyway, the Guardians and the Yankees game was as good a postseason baseball game as you'll ever see. Drama on the edge of your seat. Just to put it in perspective, the Guardians are down going to the ninth inning, right?
Mm-hmm.
By one. The leadoff hitter, Jose Ramirez, reaches base.
Mm-hmm.
Ball gets by Anthony Rizzo. Could have made the play, didn't make it. Gets on base. And the next batter, Josh Naylor, hits a ball back to the pitcher who turns it into a double play. So there's two outs, nobody on. Ninth inning. Looks pretty bleak for the Guardians. Mm-hmm. Lane Thomas doubles off the left center field wall. And John Kinsey Noel, on the first pitch, cranks a long home run to left field to tie the game. It's actually a two-run deficit for the Guardians. Sends it to extra innings. Guardians get the Yankees out in the top of the 10th. There's no ghost runner in postseason baseball.
Okay.
We're playing it straight up.
Good.
And in the bottom of the 10th, you get a runner on in front of David Fry, who hits the big two-run home run to win it. And now we've got game four tonight in Cleveland, and I can't wait to watch it. That was a phenomenal baseball game. And I know the ratings were higher for the dog of a game they gave us on Thursday Night Football. This is such a football culture. Baseball, postseason baseball, so much better than any regular season football game anyone could give you, people.
That game last night, they should put that on, like, maybe ESPN Plus, maybe. I mean, well, it was on Amazon Prime, but
the Saints are so banged up; they weren't competitive. What their promising start has gone up in flames. They're no good. Denver's not really good, but they were much better than the Saints last night.
Right.
I didn't watch a second of it. I'm a baseball guy, and for you people who just, well, it's football, I'm gonna watch football. Come on.
You know what?
Watching You're not that kind of guy, are you?
Well, I'll say it like this. Watching that game last night reminded me of what Richard Sherman said.
You watched it?
Well, I kind of had no
You just
choice.
Told me you couldn't watch baseball because of the graveyard
Well, that's because I don't have the streaming device to be able to watch the baseball game like I want to. See, my phone capabilities has limited, you know.
This is all kinds of an excuse here.
No. If I was at home, maybe, you know, if it was streaming on one of the platforms, I could have watched it, but I don't have no means. So I was stuck with watching, as Richard Sherman would say, when they asked him about Thursday Night Football, that game last night, poop fest.
I mean, it's just, you can't come up with a regular season game that would be, now, listen. The Dodgers, Mets, the Dodgers are running away with it right now. I don't know how the Mets stem this tide. Last night, Mookie Betts was phenomenal. They're up 3-1. I fully expect that series to be over. But that Guardians-Yankees series is pretty interesting. I know the Yankees are the behemoths.
Right. You know, it's funny that you mentioned that because I've heard of the four teams. All right, so I heard a guy. I'm not going to give too much credit, but they was talking about the game, and he said the only team he could halfway tolerate is the Guardians. He said because the other three teams he can't stand, and he referred to them as the New York Yankees, the New York Mets, and the New York West, referring to the LA Dodgers.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. L.A. is kind of a big city itself, you know?
Right, but he referred to the L.A. Dodgers as New York West. I guess what he's saying is the New York Yankees, they spend all this money. The L.A. Dodgers, they spend all this money. And basically everything he was saying in a nutshell, the media probably want to see either a Subway Series or they want to see
Yeah, I don't know about the media. I think the
Dodgers versus the Yankees.
I mean, you can't – listen, I'm a baseball fan, have been my entire life. I get it that some teams spend more than others.
Right.
There's no salary cap in baseball. I understand that.
Right, but at the end of the day –
But there's ways of working around that in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You see a lot of smaller market teams have success in baseball.
Right. I mean, the Royals has some success.
Cleveland.
Cleveland's having
look
success.
Look at Cleveland. Look at Detroit.
Right.
You can make it work as a smaller market team in baseball. But if we get a Dodgers-Yankees World Series, that'll be fantastic. I mean, I'll watch that all day long. You've got two of the biggest superstars in the history of the game in Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, man.
Going head-to-head.
That is must-see TV.
If that happens.
If it happens.
If it's the Guardians-Dodgers, that'll be a letdown to a lot of people, but not to me. It'll be a true matchup, another matchup of David versus Goliath. Cleveland will have already slain one of the Goliaths in the Yankees.
Let me put you on the spot, because I hear this kind of talk going back and forth since we're on this. Is there any truth to what I would say is this myth? Are these games rigged? Are these games set up? Do officials have a hand in these games? Because I'm starting to hear this. I'm hearing people say the NFL is rigged. The NBA is rigged. I mean, it doesn't.
Don't believe. Let me tell you something right now, okay? Anytime you hear anything that's associated with a conspiracy theory, eliminate it. Stop thinking about it.
Okay, I just want to put that out there because...
Don't put it out there. I'm telling you right now, nothing gets me more fired up than, hey, are they trying to fix these games? Are they? Come on. Come on. Can you imagine the fallout if that were to ever happen?
Tim Donahue.
Okay, and what was the fallout?
He
was gone.
Was a prison time.
Right. That's a pretty strong deterrent, right?
Yeah. Should be.
Going to prison?
Right. That should be a strong deterrent.
Yeah,
going to prison.
It is a strong deterrent. Not that I've ever been. All right, time for a break. We've made it through an hour. Got the big fella here with you, as well as yours truly, Bob Lutz. Joanna Chadwick will join us in hour number two. We'll talk high school football week 7 on the docket tonight. A beautiful night. Feels like football weather finally after 6 weeks of heat. We're finally into fall. Back in a minute.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.